If there was ever a sixth member of Pink Floyd, it might have collectively been Hypnosis, the design collaborative responsible for making just about every Floyd album cover. Founded in 1967 by Storm Thorgerson and Aubrey Powell, that team went on to design hundreds of sleeves for some of the biggest bands in the history of recorded music. We're talking Led Zeppelin, Paul McCartney, Genesis, Peter Frampton, Black Sabbath, Yes, Bad Company, and of course, Pink Floyd. Aubrey Powell, known to everyone as Poe, has put together a new book of the team's portrait work called Hypnosis Portraits, and we're very glad to welcome him to the show this week.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I presume putting together this book involved piling through loads of archives, and I'm wondering what that process was like, especially on an emotional level, looking over things that you might not have seen in decades.
Going through the Hypnosis archive was extremely emotional for two reasons. One is that Storm Thorgerson, my partner in Hypnosis right from the 60s, was dying. And so there was a sense of urgency about finding the pictures that we thought were appropriate. Sadly, he was not able to make that decision. He went before that process. But the second thing was that some of these folders that I found had not been opened for over 40 years. So it was like a continual flashback going into a sort of memory bank of what it was like working with those artists and the surprise that the quality of the negatives and the transparencies that I found were absolutely pristine. You know, and there was a sense of joy. So it was a mixture of joy and sadness. And also very nostalgic. And I think also a realization of just how trusting all those big artists, you know, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Paul McCartney, Peter Gabriel, how trusting they were in Hypnosis to do their artworks for them. And, you know, I'm not sure that creative people these days would have such freedom or have the money to do the sort of artworks that we did.
You guys sort of got a reputation pretty quick for doing stuff that was unconventional, not just, you know, photos of bands, you know, posing for the camera, that kind of stuff. I think that really synced well with the Pink Floyd mindset, the mindset of its fans. But you write in the book that it many times did not please the record companies.
When we started Hypnosis, it was traditional for album covers to have a photograph of the band on. And Peter Blake, who designed Sgt. Pepper for the Beatles, completely broke the mold in 1967. And that was the date Hypnosis started. And we realized instantly that we could think laterally. We could think out of the box. We could look sideways. We didn't have to conform to having a portrait of a rock and roll band on the front cover of an album. So we, because our instincts were anyway, in a kind of a different space and time completely, and we weren't about to, you know, conform to the rigid confines of a record company and their in-house art departments, we began to think immediately of surreal designs. We call them surreal photo designs. And this didn't go down well with record companies. I mean, particularly if I take Pink Floyd, let's look at, say, Atom Heart Mother, a picture of a cow in a field on a front cover. This was just unacceptable to a record company. No name of the band on there, no name of the album, just a picture of a cow. And, you know, this was a very sort of what I would call Man Ray, sort of Buñuel, Salvador Dali kind of influenced image. And, of course, the record companies, they didn't want that. They wanted a picture of Pink Floyd. You know, by the way, which one's pink? You know, this was their whole kind of ethos and insincerity that went into that. And, actually, it worked phenomenally well. It was the first Pink Floyd number one record in America. When people saw this image of a cow in Billboard or Rolling Stone or saw it in a record shop or saw it on a billboard on Sunset Strip, they immediately said, who's that? What's happening? You know, it had the reverse psychology attached to it. You know, it was the reverse effect. It wasn't a lack of interest. It was all interest. And this album cover helped tremendously to sell Pink Floyd. Well, the same thing applied when we did Wish You Were Here. you know, we designed this very intricate and very expensive album cover with the man on fire on the front, the diver in the water on the back, and a postcard with a swimmer in the desert, all these kind of things. And then we wrapped it up in a black plastic bag, and we put a logo on the front of it, a kind of decal of two people shaking hands. Now, you know, this you could say was extravagant. We could be extravagant. Pink Floyd could afford to be extravagant. But at the same time, there was a deep psychological process behind it, which was you get the album, you don't know what the cover is, you've got the excitement of tearing off the wrapping and looking inside, and wow, there's your new album cover. It's the new Pink Floyd album.
I think one of the best things about the book is that all of the alternate takes and different versions of photos that you have in there, people like myself who only know, you know, the cover of Wish You Were Here and the photos that are inside of it as the ones that were published, to see alternate takes of those, it's mind-blowing. One in particular struck me, the invisible guy with the record standing in the desert. You've got photos of him in the book before you've airbrushed him out, so you can actually see what he looks like.
Yeah, well, this was the whole purpose of the book, actually. I mean, when I went through the old files and I pulled out all these extraordinary negatives and transparencies, I found all these outtakes, as I call them. And why it's called Hypnosis Portraits is because Hypnosis did not do portraits. We didn't do album covers with portraits on. So when I found all these bits and pieces, I just thought, you know what, let's put into the book things that people have never seen before. And that businessman from Wish You Were Here, which in the cover is all airbrushed out, so he's invisible, and it's to do with Have a Cigar, the track, you know, the invisible businessman, the insincere character dressed up in a suit who doesn't really care about the band. All he cares about is the money. It would be nice to see the guy as I photographed him. And you see this, actually, it was a male model from Los Angeles in the Yuma Desert, and he's holding a cigar, and he's dressed, and he's got a mustache. And I took those photographs with the view that we might use those on the cover, just in case we didn't like the look of the invisible man. As it turned out, we did. But these were outtakes, and I think that's what's interesting about the book. There's a lot of photographs in there that nobody's ever seen before. Floyd particularly, because with Pink Floyd, if you look at, say, the Belsize Park session, as we call it, which is where they're all sitting on a bench, or they're camping around, or they've got their hands in front of their face, or they're eating sandwiches and drinking cups of tea, you see a band in their absolute heyday. It was just before they left to go on their first tour for Dark Side of the Moon, before the album came out. And you see a band where the chemistry is so locked together. They are absolutely best friends, best buddies. They're on a roll. They know they've made a great album. And it's all about fun. And you never, ever saw Pink Floyd like that. They were this enigmatic band that hid behind their spacey music and hid behind their light shows. And for once, I decided, okay, let's show them in the book as they really are. Let's see them how they were at that time. Because as we know, once they got down the line after Dark Side of the Moon and the Wall came along, there was a very big disintegration in the relationships of Pink Floyd, particularly with David Gilmour and Richard Wright and Roger Waters. And there was a separation process. But at the moment I caught them, at that time, you see them at their very best.
I wanted to get back to Wish You Were Here for just a second. The guy who was the record executive who you airbrushed out, was that the same model as the guy who was swimming in the sand?
Yes. The record executive in the book and the model in the sand are the same person. We couldn't afford two different models.
See, now, people like me, we never knew that because we've never seen the guy's face. So that was one thing that struck me flipping through.
We're talking
Aubrey Powell Poe to his friends. Of Hypnosis, the design team that did just about every Pink Floyd album cover. We have copies of his new book, Hypnosis Portraits, to give away if you'd like to register to win a copy. A beautiful coffee table book, chock full of very cool photographs, details on how you can register to win. All right, our website, floydianslip.com.
Boy.
Man, I had a rough night's sleep. Ugh, boy. Whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-281-6030. 800-281-6030. 800-281-6030. Again, that's 800-281-6030.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-392-1258 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-392-1258 to take your call now. Call 800-392-1258. That's 800-392-1258. Again, 800-392-1258.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactive says is better than proactive. Announcing today's Proactive Plus, the revolutionary way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactive Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-640-0679 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactive Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. Plus, more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactive Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-640-0679. Be one of the first to try Proactive Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. Call right now and even the shipping is free. Call 1-800-640-0679. 1-800-640-0679.
It's a special Floydian slip this week as we are talking with Poe Powell, one member of the Hypnosis design team that designed nearly every Pink Floyd album sleeve. What was it like working with Pink Floyd? I've gathered that they're a fairly hard-to-read group. They kind of kept their cards close to their vest.
Working with Pink Floyd was always an interesting experience, partly because there was a slight confusion there. One, we'd all grown up together in Cambridge, so we were all friends. But two, you know, Roger Waters particularly had quite a cynical view about life and about the business and about how things should be. And he wasn't about to kowtow to the feelings of a record company or what they wanted. It was all about him and the band. And the other members of Pink Floyd were also exactly the same, followed on with that view. So actually, we had a very good working relationship with them because they were chums. But on the other hand, we were very aware that we had to be right on the money politically, and also, I would say, in terms of the visual image, represented Pink Floyd as this enigmatic force, not something they would never want, something that was you know, obvious, let's put it that way. Mm. So one had to be quite careful with the way you balance this. But I wouldn't say, from my point of view particularly, my relationship with Roger was very good, and with David and Nick and Rick, and I wouldn't say that I ever had any issues with any of it at all. In fact, we always came up with the goods, or in the case of, let's say, something like Animals, this was Roger's idea. Mm. You know, there's a great story behind that, how that came about, but Roger was very convinced that Battersea Power Station and a pig flying over it was the way to go. And what a great cover it turned out to
be. Well, I have to ask you what the story is.
I had a phone call from Roger one afternoon, and he said, "What are you doing? Come over and have tea." Well, at that time, he was living in South London, and he was living in a house that overlooked Battersea Power Station, which is the huge Victorian brick building which is in the Animals cover. I got there. He said, "Come with me. Let's go down there and let's take some photographs and look around. I've got an idea that I want to fly the pig above the power station." Now, the pig they just had made in Germany for their tour. So we wrecked it, and I said, "Sure, we could do that. We should put it between the chimneys. I'm sure it would look good." Anyway, we prepared the whole thing. We did everything absolutely right. We got to the power station with the pig the first day, beautiful sunny day, everything ready. The pig wouldn't inflate. It wouldn't work. So that day was canceled. However, I shot on a 10x8 camera this extraordinary sunset that happened that evening without the pig in the power station. The following day, the pig inflated. Pink Floyd were there, up its sails between the two chimneys, and a horsesaw broke, and the pig sailed right into the air lanes flying into Heathrow Airport. The police were called. Immediately, all flights into London were cancelled, all flights from Europe, from everywhere. Fighter jets were sent up to try and find this pig. It was last seen by a pilot of a 747 at 40,000 feet. You can imagine the publicity the next day in all the newspapers. Pink pig spotted at 40,000 feet. So we had a lot of problems. I was arrested by the police, taken to our studio. Pink Floyd, needless to say, disappeared from the scene. That night, we put out on the radio and television, if anybody spotted this pig, they should report it immediately. About 10 o'clock at night, the phone rang, and a farmer said to me, "Are you looking for a pink pig?" I said, "Yes." He said, "It's frightening my cows. It's in a field at the back of my farm." And it had landed in a farmyard in southern England. It had come down with the cool air of the night, reducing the helium, and hence it dropped to the ground. We retrieved the pig that night. The next morning, with the permission from the police and a marksman to shoot it out of the sky in case it escaped again, we arrived on the scene, inflated the pig. It flew between the power station. We had double horsesaws on it this time. It worked perfectly. And we got the most amazing photograph of the pig. However, the sky was as dull as ditch water. It was just not interesting at all. So when I got all the photographs back from the 3 days of filming, we matched the photograph of the pig from the last day to the beautiful sky from the first day and stripped them together. So we could have done that in the beginning without all the hassle. These days you do it in Photoshop, sure. You do it in 5 minutes. In those days it wasn't so easy. But nevertheless, it's a pretty spectacular cover. And Roger, needless to say, was over the moon about it.
We wouldn't have such a great story if you had just done it in the dark room.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And luckily, the police forgave us and Heathrow Airport forgave us and everybody was happy. But for a moment, it was touch and go there. I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life, in prison for flying an object without the correct license,
You write in the book that so much has been said and written about Syd Barrett that saying anything else would be superfluous. But nonetheless, I've got you here. I have to ask, what was he like?
Syd was a very close friend of mine, and we knew each other in Cambridge before Pink Floyd even started. He was playing in all sorts of little bands, the Hollering Blues and, little local bands, really, sort of cutting his chops. And he used to play with David Gilmour a lot. He used to teach his other guitarists and stuff like that. Nobody could have foreseen later on that Syd would disappear from Pink Floyd and David would replace him. However, in those early days, Syd was this kind of elfin-like character. He was very skinny. He walked on the balls of his feet. He was very creative, very artistic. I remember walking into his mother's house one day and hanging from the ceiling were all these decahedrons he'd made out of balsa wood. They were beautifully made. It must have taken him hours. And I said, "What are they for?" He said, "Nothing. I just like the look of them." He was... he was like that. It was just endlessly creative. He liked to play Go, the Chinese puzzle game. He liked to read the I Ching. He was very much a sensitive, intelligent, artistic man. Very popular with the girls, beautiful looking. He, I think, was not cut out for the music business. Apart from all the stories about, overdoses of LSD and stuff like that, which are probably true. He took quite a lot of LSD. I think that he really did not like the music business in the sense that he felt he was having to pander to it. I mean, he was the writer of the songs of Pink Floyd. So he was under immense pressure to keep coming up with the goods. And at the same time, he didn't particularly like the whole thing of having to dress up and be a pop star. And there's a classic story which Roger Waters always tells, which just before he went on Top of the Pops, which was a big English rock show on television, he said to Roger, "I'm sure John Lennon doesn't have to do this." And Roger said, "But Sid, this is what we've been aiming for all along. This is what we do. This is what we want." And it wasn't for Sid. He didn't want it. And I think that view and sensitivity combined with LSD just made his mind slip away. And at the time when he was at his worst, he and I were sharing a flat in South Kensington in London, and it was just awful to see this person who could be violent one minute, I mean extremely aggressive, and then passive with completely a dead look in his eyes the next. You know, it was frightening. And I watched this person just sort of slip away into somebody who could no longer play the guitar even. You know, he would sit there with the guitar in front of him trying to strum it, but he actually, his fingers wouldn't touch the strings. It was tragedy beyond. And then he left London and went back to live with his mother in Cambridge. And I only saw him once again after that when he arrived at my studio just prior to going to Abbey Road Studios, where he saw the band while they were making Wish You Were Here, which was the most bizarre coincidence. And I hardly recognized him when he arrived at the Hypnosis Studio. He was very bloated. His hair was completely shorn. He was wearing a white trench coat. And I remember one of my assistants said, "Oh, by the way, Sid Barrett's at the door." And I walked there to the front door, and I opened the door, and I couldn't believe what I saw. And he was sort of incoherent, rambling, you know, "Where are they recording? What's happening?" I said, "Go to Abbey Road." He went there, and even Pink Floyd didn't recognize him when he arrived there. So it's a very sad tale and a very personal tale. And I think in the book you see these photographs that I took of Sid just around about that period of time where he's doing yoga. And you can see in his eyes there's a deadness. They're completely hollow. There's no emotion, nothing there. And I'm sure he was doing yoga to try and keep himself together, try and keep himself centered. But it just wasn't working.
Now, Sid actually gave Hypnosis its name, right?
Yeah, Sid Barrett was living in our flat, and we were trying to think of a name for our new-found photographic company. And Storm and I racked our brains. We thought, "Consciousness Incorporated, that sounds pretty cool." You know, it was all hippie days, you know, but that wasn't so good. Anyway, walking up the stairs one day, there on the door, written in biro, was the word Hypnosis. Hip, meaning cool, groovy, and gnostic, meaning wise. And we thought, that's a very great name for a company. What a great title. Who wrote that? Where did that come from? Opened the door, and there was Sid standing, looking very sheepish. And I said, "Did you write down the door?" And he was, because we were kind of upset about it in a way. And he looked at the floor, and he said, "Well, you know me in words." And he was a wordsmith, Sid, you know. He loved to tear up newspapers and tear up the words and throw them up in the air, and wherever they land, he'd create songs out of them, you know, all those wonderful little ballads that he made up that were very much kind of fairy tale songs were often formed from things that he found just by throwing newspapers up in the air. So, yeah, he gave Hypnosis its name, which was, which makes me think of him with great affection.
We're talking with Poe Powell, of the Hypnosis design team on this week's Floydian Slip. You know his work, whether or not you know it. We joke on the show that they designed about a third of your album collection, just about every Pink Floyd album sleeve, but tons of other sleeves from other big bands. Poe's new book is called Hypnosis Portraits, and we're giving away copies on this week's program. If you'd like to register to win, you can learn how to do that at our website, floydianslip.com.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-281-6030. 800-281-6030. 800-281-6030. Again, that's 800-281-6030.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than Proactiv. Announcing today's Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-640-0679 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. Plus, more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-640-0679. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. Call right now and even the shipping is free. Call 1-800-640-0679. 1-800-640-0679.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-392-1258 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-392-1258 to take your call now. Call 800-392-1258. That's 800-392-1258. Again, 800-392-1258.
We're speaking with Poe Powell on this week's Floydian Slip. I'm Craig Bailey. Poe was the co-founder of Hypnosis, a venerable design team that did just about every Floyd album sleeve. From reading your bio, it sounds like you stay very busy, but I also gather that you spend much of your time today doing film and whatnot and very little on static design work. I'm wondering, what do you think the status of album sleeve design is today?
When Hypnosis was working flat out between 1967 and 1982, those were the salad days of album covers. You know, an album cover was 12 inches by 12 inches or 24 inches by 12 inches if you opened it out as a gatefold sleeve. Now, of course, you don't have that. But I think the thing is that, and this is very important, that imagery with music has always been put together. I don't care if it's a court jester at the time of Henry VIII making a fool of himself, but there was always music from lutes behind, you know. So it's always going to be joined at the hip. And I think album covers also were a measure of who you were. When you walked into somebody's house, you know, there might be 200 album covers on a shelf, and depending what that person had in his collection would define the person. In the 1970s, there were no MTV, there was no VH1, there was no YouTube. There was none of the easy access that one had to know something about your favorite band. So album covers were a gateway into that. You know, you waited eagerly for the next album to arrive. You got the album, you looked at the cover, you pored over it while you played the music to find out clues about your favorite band, whether it was the lyrics, whether it was postcards or posters that were inside, or whether it was little photographs of the band, or whether it was something like, say, we did for Led Zeppelin, House of the Holy. You know, what did that mean? What was it all about? You know, what is this? How does this relate to the music? So there were clues that were given to fans to enjoy. And I think that experience has gone away, especially with the advent of CDs, because of the size of them. I mean, you can barely read lyrics on CDs, let alone see anything else on them. And also with downloads, of course, all of that ritual, if you like, of opening up this surprise package is gone.
Getting back to you going through the archives to put this book together, am I to believe that there's a closet somewhere that has the original mechanical artwork for, say, all the Pink Floyd albums just sort of wrapped up in paper bags?
Yes and no. I have to say that when Hypnosis started, I don't think Storm or I took much notice of the importance of the work we were doing. And I say that not wanting to sound egocentric, because we worked so hard and such long hours and so many days, endlessly, for about 15 years. And we were almost like an art house, like a Warhol factory. We turned out album cover designs one after the other. It was extraordinary. And the archiving of that work was not important to us. It was just like on to the next thing. You know, who cares? You know, it was disposable as far as we were concerned. So the answer to your question is there an archive of Hypnosis artwork? Yes, there is. And there are quite a lot of the original artworks about. There is the original artwork of Dark Side of the Moon, of Uma Guma, for example. But if you ask me where Atom Heart Mother, the cow, is, I couldn't tell you. Actually, I do have it. However, it is faded into insignificance. And the negatives and transparencies of those sessions are well gone. Who knows where they went to? I have no idea. But other things like, you know, in the book, there's the photograph of Uma Guma, but there's also a contact sheet which shows you very clearly how we took those photographs and interchanged the members of the band in order to create that Pink Floyd cover. What's interesting about that is you can see very much how it was the days of film and having to collage and stick things together, not the world of Photoshop as we know it today, and how much easier our lives would have been if we'd had Photoshop in the 1970s.
Tell me about the big Pink Floyd retrospect that was supposed to open in Milan this past fall. You're the curator of that, aren't you?
Yes, I'm the creative director for Pink Floyd and the curator of this Pink Floyd exhibition. It's going to be called Their Mortal Remains. And this is a huge exhibition. It's some 30,000 square feet and covers the Pink Floyd history right from the very beginning, right through to the present day. And there are a lot of artifacts in it, some 600, ranging from musical instruments to artworks to original notebooks to all sorts of stuff. And I would say that it will probably be the most defined exhibition of its age ever. We were due to open in Milan last year in September, but we weren't ready and the promoter concerned was not ready for us. So we postponed it by a year. And now it's proposed that this exhibition will open next December 2015. And we are currently negotiating with the venues and the countries where this is going to happen, because obviously it's going to travel.
The book is Hypnosis Portraits. And thank you so much for talking with us, Poe. Appreciate it. We have copies of Poe's new book, Hypnosis Portraits, to give away. If you'd like to register to win, details on how you can are at our website, FloydianSlip.com. Thanks so much for joining us on this week's Floydian Slip. Back with you for another hour of Pink Floyd on next week's Floydian Slip. I'm Craig Bailey. Floydian Slip is a Random Precision production.